First Chronicles chapter 12, beginning with verse 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel. And all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. And there were there with David 3 days eating and drinking, for their brethren had prepared for them. Moreover, they that were nigh to them, even unto Issachar and Zebulun and Naphtali, brought bread and asses and camels and mules and oxen and meat and meal and cakes of figs and bunches of raisins and wine and oil and oxen and sheep abundantly, for there was joy in Israel. The story that we pick up on here is a time when David would finally become the king of Israel. It was to be a celebration. And the story tells us that these men in particular that we take note of, these are the warriors of Zebulun that are being spoken of here in particular. And they left their hills and their homes and their flocks and their lives, in a sense, to come down and to accomplish one thing and one thing only: make the king of Israel, David, who had been promised. Make David king was their intent. Their sole purpose of coming was to gather around and make him king. They were fully equipped in the way that they came, with armor and sword, as they would have been. But there was a difference with these warriors of Zebulun that's not mentioned in the text or in other texts about this particular group of men that's mentioned here. Other men aren't called upon here in this way. What way? Well, they had a discipline. Not only were they equipped, they had a discipline in their lives. What discipline? Well, it tells us that they kept rank. In the midst of soldiers coming in and coming out, in this day, there was something rare about soldiers that kept rank, meaning they marched together. They weren't just a crowd of men. They were in order. They were in rank. And this meant they were a true army, not a mob, not a disorganized group that came down. Now, why is that important? Well, it says here that because they kept rank, they came with a perfect heart, or we would say they were not of a double heart. They didn't have a double heart. They weren't double-minded or double-hearted. They were single-minded, single-hearted. They had a single purpose, and that was, again, to make David the king. One spirit was moving them to that particular resolve. That was the intent of coming, the purpose of being there. And they did so by keeping rank in order that there would be this effectiveness. Now, why are you bringing this up, you say? Why is this so important? Two things that I want you to note. A couple of things that are important, and they're not just important to note for these guys. They're important characteristics that the church, the body of Christ, should display. We should have these characteristics within us personally and in the body corporately. Any church, any group should have this particular reality. That is, if you want to see growth and fruit and healthiness in life, these things are needed. And the two things that we need to talk about today: first of all, organization. Second of all, devotion. These are the two things that we see in this group of men that are noted here, that are really lifted up out of the pages of the scriptures and then placed before us to say, hey, why are these guys mentioned in this light, and why should that be important to us? Both of these elements are important to us as a church, to us as individual believers. Organization and devotion, both important, but very, very different in the degree in which they are applied. And this is what I need to kind of get your attention about today. These things are important things. But here's the deal. Organization without devotion is far worse than devotion without organization. Meaning, if you want to experience victory in this life, you can do so being devoted, even if you are the most unorganized person on the planet. However, organization without devotion is dead. It's nothing more than structure. It's nothing more than a set of activities, you see. One, devotion, is essential. The other, organization, is optional, in a sense. In other words, it's important, but only as it gives aid to the first. Organization is only important as long as it aids in the devotion that we have. It's only important as long as the result that was intended comes about. And what was that result for these brothers of Zebulun? What was their intent? To make David king. And so their organized discipline, their keeping of rank, was important as it pertained to making that happen. Are you with me on this? Now, this is important because the other aspect of this, in other words, pure organization without devotion leads to only structural habits, not to life in reality. You see, many churches lean on one or the other in many cases. Not always, but I find this to be true as I look around and perceive the body as a whole. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 40, Paul says that all things should be done decently and in order. I find oftentimes that churches will do things decently in order, but they don't do all things. Other churches do all things, but not decently and in order. And both are off base. Both are out of order, if you would. We're to do all things, but it's to be done decently in order. In other words, it's kind of like the church in many respects has become an organization. But what's missing oftentimes is the devotion, the pure devotion. What's that remind me of? Well, I'll tell you. You ever remember, if you're older, I forgive you for not remembering this. But when you were a kid, when you were a child in school, in elementary school in particular, did anybody ever bring in one of those little glass displays with butterflies all displayed in there? Did anybody ever see those? You with me? Hello? Remember those? Now, they were really organized. I remember this one little girl, she'd bring in, everything she brought in was organized. So it was so neat. Every, you know, the way she wrote and all the butterflies were laid out there. And it was really pretty and organized. There was only one problem. All the butterflies had a pin going right through their body. And they were dead. And it was really pretty and organized and set up right, but it was dead. They were dead butterflies. That's what organization in the body, folks, in the church is like without devotion. All organized, all set up right, but dead as a doornail oftentimes. Pretty butterflies that aren't alive, you see. Now, what we see modeled for us here in this particular part of the story is life and devotion that are shaping and instructing, giving instruction to the organization. In other words, what gives the organization any purpose whatsoever is the life and the devotion of these brothers that have come for this one purpose, and that is to make David the king. It can't be the other way around. The organization cannot be the purpose in which you have devotion in life, because you won't have it. It can't go the other way, although I'm afraid that that is what's being attempted many times. Many times people are attempting to make the organization really give the instruction for how the devotion in life is to be played out. We do it this way. We do it that way. And what's the result of that? Pins through the body. Oftentimes. Why do we do it that way? I don't know. We always done it that way. Does it bring life? Is it aiding in the devotion and the life of the church? Is it bringing about the reality that the greater than David is made king in the lives of people? Does it aid to that end or not? And this is what is really going to be the heart of our discussion today. There must be a body, it's been well said, to hold the spirit. There must be a spirit to keep the body from rotting. You cannot just have a body, folks. You've got to have the spirit. And the spirit is what gives the body life. So, first thing I want you to note is what the organization is, what their organization was. Again, we read that these men of war, they had all their equipment, but they also kept rank, came with a perfect heart to Hebron. That perfect heart meant that David was to be king over Israel. That was why they were organized, in other words. And we often think of ourselves here in our fellowship as those that perhaps aren't tied to any real structure. We don't want to be associated with any real structure, and that's good, because I think in some cases that the structure has to be here only to help the reality of Jesus. We always tell people, don't we? You have direct access to Jesus Christ. You can go to him directly. You don't need the structure, right, to get you to see Jesus, to get you to have a personal relationship with Jesus. You don't have to come here to know him. You can just talk to him. If you know Jesus, you can just spend time with him. You don't need me to get you before him every week. And we like to tell people that. There must be nothing in our organization that hinders that reality, right? We can't do things here that would be inconsistent with people knowing Christ. We can't do that. Although, now, here's the big problem. Although many times there are things going on that can do that. They can do what? That can hinder that reality. In other words, so often, because the church is made up of so many different kinds of people, and that's good. Many different kinds of people are awesome, because we're all different and we're all here. And I've said this before, and I'll say it probably again before I'm done with this fellowship and done with this life. But here's the thing. Many of us sitting here would never be in the same amphitheater together if it wasn't for Christ. Right? Just look around. We're all here, but we wouldn't be all here if not for Christ. If it wasn't that we were all believers in Jesus. But for that reason, it's an interesting group. And people are great, but people can be problems. People can be problems when this happens. And this is something that organization oftentimes breeds almost. It almost lifts this up as something that's okay. But there's many times that people, for various reasons, begin to set up their own agenda, their own will and purpose for the church. In other words, they begin to make the organization something that they have control over or desire to, meaning the organization needs to be something that they feel is right in their own thinking. They try to make their opinion and their will the dominant factor in the church. Do you know anybody like that? I do. People oftentimes in church structures will bring about a desire to do things a certain way. And listen carefully, not based on the fact that it will make more people be in a relationship with the king, but so that they can be in some way or another lifted up. If I can get my way in this church, then I have some kind of prominent power here, some kind of position. I need to say this. That mentality, that whole deal, that whole idea is out of order. It has absolutely no place in the church. None. And this may come as a shock to you, but this church is not here for you. Well, what's it here for? It's for Him. It's for Jesus Christ to be made King. And if you want Jesus Christ to be made King in your life and in everybody else's life in this world, then you belong here. If you've got any other reason to be here, then you're out of order. Have a nice day. Gee, Pastor Matt, why are you getting so huffy and puffy about it? And the question would come up then, what are we organized for then? Why be organized? Well, it's not simply to grow, although, you know, that may be a result, it may be a byproduct. But it says in our text that as they gather, they kept rank for this one person to make David king. So the only reason, again, that we're organized is for that purpose, to make Jesus known as King. That's it. Well, what about other things? What about causes and programs and all that stuff? As long as they promote the reality of Jesus being King in this world, in our life, in this church, in other people's lives, then programs are great. The problem with programs is they take on their own type of life, generally. They become the thing, and you can't just stop a program once you start it, right? Why? Well, because now you've got committees running those programs. And committees, folks, believe it or not, committees have issues. Committees start thinking that their committee's more important than the church, oftentimes. And what they do as a committee has precedence and is more important than the reality of what takes place spiritually in the body. Anything that doesn't have to do with Jesus Christ being exalted really needs to go. Just needs to go. It needs to be stopped. If there's some committee or if there's some program, if there's some deal going on in the body that is really sidetracking, deterring, distracting from this reality, then it needs to be taken out. People say, well, you don't have very many programs there at the church. Nope, we don't. And we don't have any committees. So people say, hey, you want to join a committee? Nope, don't have to join a committee. And some people, that's refreshing. For others, they're looking for the booth and the tables to sign up. You know, there are churches where you can walk in, and I mean, there's eight people standing there getting you signed up for something, right? We don't do that here. Why? Well, I think it's sometimes simpler just to say, hey, why don't you just sit down and take the word in and worship Jesus. And if He raises something up in your heart that you want to serve in someday, awesome. But why don't we just make Him King first? Why don't we make sure He's exalted first, you see? Now, what this means is this, and if I'm stepping on your toes a bit, you know, forgive me, but you know me by now anyway, most of you. Here's the deal. Here's the reality that I want you to really note. If this is to be so, if Jesus is made King, I want you to know something. These men came with a resolve to see this done, and they had to leave something behind in order for them to do this. They left their hill country. They left their flocks. They came down and brought with them, as the text tells us, all kinds of things to offer. In other words, they didn't come expecting to get something from this experience. They brought something to the experience. And I'm going to say this in the nicest way I know how. Some of you need to start bringing something to the experience. And quit coming expecting to get something out of this. They brought the the goods, if you would. They brought themselves, they brought their order, they brought their rank, they brought their devotion, they brought everything, and they brought all the goods with them. They were ready to make him king, and they brought what they had to offer for it. And if you sit too long expecting to get and get and get, then I'm just going to say this. You're going to get tired, worn out, and your devotion to the Lord may waver a bit. And you might start ending up getting organized, start seeking organization. It's not the first time it's happened. Some people will leave because, hey, this isn't got enough organization for them. You know, too loose. Doesn't have enough committee stuff and organization stuff. And who's that guy anyway up there? Where'd he come from? You know, this is not an uncommon thing, folks. And I need to understand that this is going to require an exercising of faith if this is going to be a reality for us. We have to exercise faith. That means that things that come up that the Lord leads in, if it means, hey, got to leave the hill country, go down to the valley, and we got to bring our flocks and our stuff with us, we got to bring something to the table here, we got to bring something to the experience, and that's what we need to do. But I'll tell you something, organization can prevent that if it's too dominant. You can't move in faith if you're too organized. Why? Because the organization tends to take over. And when that happens, what you will find is the death of a church. It begins to waver in its faith because it hasn't exercised faith. Proverbs 14:4, the writer of Proverbs says, "Where no oxen are, the crib is clean," or "the stable is clean." If you don't keep any oxen in the stable, you don't have to clean up any oxen leftovers, right? But he goes on to say, but much increase is by the strength of the ox, meaning, hey, if you don't want to dirty up the stall, so to speak, then just keep the oxen out of there. But isn't that what the stall is for? So the ox can come in and out. And yes, they will leave behind some things. And if your intent, if your purpose, folks, if our purpose is only to be organized, you see, then we may be doing that exact thing, keeping the stall clean. But the increase comes from a dirty stall, is what he's saying. The increase, the fruit, the real fruit of the ministry comes when we get dirty a bit and have to kind of help clean up this and help do that and start really getting our hands into the mess, if you would. Spiritually speaking, it means we need to get active in faith, not just keep the crib clean, not just keep the stall clean, not just trying to keep everything tidy and organized. You know what I'm saying? You go into somebody's barn and their stalls are all clean. I mean, they're like concrete floors that have been, you know, waxed. You know, and everything's tidy, everything's hanging up. And you go in there and you go, boy, I bet you don't use this place, right? You don't use this stall, I'll bet. It doesn't look like it's ever been used. Yeah, but it sure is neat and tidy, isn't it? Yeah. Too bad there's nothing going on here. You see, that's the reality sometimes. Faith has to be exercised. If you want an organized church, you see, if you want to see what too much organization looks like, I'll just have to say this. There's a number of examples out there if you want to look at them. What do they look like? Well, I've been a part of some of them. They're real organized. They're real dead. There's a death that has happened. Why? Why has it happened? Someone lost devotion. Someone replaced devotion with organization. Someone got too busy making the stall neat and clean, forgot what it was really for. Ventures of faith are important, folks. If Jesus is our aim, things are going to be different. They're going to be exciting, but they're also going to be challenging. There's not going to be long seasons, I don't believe, long periods of time where nothing's going on. where there's kind of this lull or this death, in it won't be there. If Jesus is exalted, if he is made king again and again and again and again, it won't happen. It won't get there. But again, there's a number of examples of that exact thing happening. What's gone wrong with the church? Where is the power? Where is the life? Where is it? Where did it go? I dare say it got organized. It got too organized, and the devotion was lost. There was cooperation in David's ranks because they all had this one purpose of making David king. One purpose, not 10 or 20, not this or that, but one and one only. There can only be one purpose for this church as well. There can only be one purpose for my life. There can only be one purpose for all of us being here. And again, if there's other purposes that you have, then, you know, then this probably isn't the place for you, because we only have one purpose. And listen carefully, I will die standing in this particular amphitheater or inside that sanctuary preaching and teaching this before, personally, I will allow this church to get so organized that we lose devotion to Jesus Christ. Because if this is the purpose of our life, the purpose of this church, then we have absolutely no business wavering from it in any way, shape, or form. None. And take that home with you. Take that home to your houses, to your lives, to your jobs, to your kids, to whatever. Take that home and make that the reality of your life, not just this church. Problem is with too much of the tradition that we've steeped ourselves in, and I was raised in it. I know. I was raised in the church of tradition. But the problem is, when there's too much of that, then self-interest and pettiness and all kinds of stuff starts getting in. Opinion and traditions are starting to waver into and be woven into our lives and our church. And everything's got to be put in their proper place. And I'll need to say this, pettiness and tradition and all that stuff, the proper place for it is out of the church. I was sitting there today thinking, wow. You know, we're out here in the sun worshiping the Lord. Russ and Rocky and Daniel and Gabe and Jake are up here just leading us in worship, you know. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's kind of loud. Wonder how everybody likes it. And some people might go, well, it's plugging my ears. And that's okay. Plug your ears and worship the Lord. Plug your ears and make him king. But see, that's enough. That's enough right there. To make some people say, well, I'm not going back there. Bunch of young hooligans. Playing rock and roll music Sunday morning. And you know what? It doesn't have anything to do with making him king. You can make him king singing whatever song you want, as long as it's for him. You can play your guitar, you can beat on a drum, you can stand up or sit down or whatever you want to do. But I'll tell you what, in your heart, if you're making him king, that's all that matters, you see. And this might be a little untraditional, you see. But the faith that is exercised in coming to a place and bringing with you those things that they had brought with them and saying, I'm here to make the King of Kings, the King of my life, and the King of this place, and the King of this church, and I want to see others be brought into that reality as well. That's what I'm here for. I'm here for that. I'm going to exercise faith in believing that God can do that. And that means I may have to step out, and I may have to do something that you know, is kind of unconventional, untraditional. I may have to lose pettiness and self-centeredness. I may have to say it doesn't have to be my way. And that's hard for some people. You know, James in James 2:26, James was that apostle who was in your face. You know what I mean? James would just tell it like it is. And one of the things James is known for in his famous letter, James, is is the fact that, and I'm paraphrasing, but James said, so you got faith, huh? Let's see it. That's James's whole point there. Hey, I heard you say you have faith. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see your faith. He says there in James 2:26, he says, for as the body without works is dead, so faith without works is dead also. This body without faith, folks, is dead. What does that mean? That means when this body quits exercising faith, taking ventures of faith, following the Lord wherever he leads, whatever he leads in, whatever he's doing, when we quit doing that, we begin to die. And again, I'm sad about it, but there's a lot of examples of it in this world, in this society. So much for organization. I need to move on. Let's look at something else that is present here. That is the excited devotion of the believers. And I say excited because devotion's never boring. If it is, it's not devotion. If someone says, hey, I'm really a devoted believer, and they're yawning when they say it, doesn't work. Devotion means this. It means that I am committed to laying everything I am before the Lord and saying, Father, whatever you want, I will do. And I know that it's going to involve making Jesus king. He's going to be known in this place, known in this world. I know that that is the centerpiece of the reality of Christianity. Christ is the objective of Christianity. You know that. If he is not revered as such, if he is not brought to the forefront, if he is not talked about and brought out every single time and looked upon and worshipped and exalted in every sense, then what we're doing isn't for the Lord. It's for some other reason, you see. Excited devotion. I'm excited when I'm devoted. I can be excited and devoted, but I can never be bored and devoted. I can be organized and excited, but I can also be organized and bored. That's the difference. That's why I said at the beginning that organization is only valid, it's only important as long as it aids in the devotion. Again, what is devotion? I'm committing everything to the Lord. These men, they came from the hills to Hebron with a single purpose. They had no other motives, no other self-interest, and this is the way fruit is produced in the church. There's no other way. I know people say, well, if we did this or if we did that, then that would, you know, bring about this or the other thing. And you know what? I only care about one thing. You know, I tell the guys sometimes, I'm only interested in one thing. The fruit needs to be Christ is exalted. He is lifted up. That's the fruit. That's how fruit is produced. If our interests are wavering in any other way, it's not important to me. And they came to make him king. And again, I would just ask you today, what are you here for? What are we here in this place for? Are you here for that reason? Are you here to be a devoted believer in Jesus Christ and to make him known as king in your life? Are you willing to do what it takes to show forth his kingship in your life? Is he king in your own life? Are you devoted to him only? Are you single-hearted or double-hearted? You know why I'm excited about this particular understanding, this teaching, this reality? Because I believe that if just a few people, if just some people would get a hold of this and start bringing with them, like these guys in our story did, start bringing with them the goods to make him king, wow, this place is going to change. Things are going to be different here. Just a few people doing this, you see. Single-hearted devotion to Jesus. What an awesome thing. And nothing else can compete with that, folks. him being honored in love. But again, this kind of love is a child of faith. It's the beginning of faith. A church that has Jesus as its focus will be always alive, vibrant, full, excited, and moving in faith. There's movement. There's excitement. And the purpose is to keep him exalted. I just need to say this. If I'm not excited about Jesus being king in my life, I really am going to be ineffective at making him king in somebody else's life. What's the attraction? What's the purpose? I want you to ponder what kind of impact that would make on a community, on a place, if people really did do that. How powerful a church would be that was solely devoted to Jesus. How God might use a body of believers who were given over to that purpose. I've only seen that to a small portion of what reality could be in that light. I've never seen that full blown. I've seen some kind of glimpses of it, but I've never seen it totally given over. And you say, well, that's a pipe dream. You know, it's never going to happen. Again, I'll die with a vision rather than die for a lack of. Without vision, the Bible tells us men perish. So I'm going to perish anyway. Sooner or later, I'm going to perish, though, with vision on my heart that this can be a reality. And if it can be a reality, then it needs to be a reality first. Where? In my heart, in my life, right? It has to be real for me. Otherwise, it won't be real for you. And if it's not real for you, it won't be real for anybody else in this area, in this community, will it? Everything they organized to do was to make him king in everything and everywhere. That's the purpose of their life. But now consider, just in light of that reality, consider how worthless this organization or any other organization would be without that. Think how powerless, how dry, how boring, you see. And folks, many, many churches are dying a slow death. Don't want to be one of them. Some churches are dead already, but they're pretending like the organization is somehow worth keeping open or keeping it going. Why? Because it's been there for 100 years. Charles Spurgeon made it very clear that if the Spirit of God was not in your midst, in your church, then you ought to shut the doors. You ought to get out. You ought to go home. Why? Because we have no business being here. If someone can walk in here, walk into our midst, and they don't experience the power, the Spirit of God working mightily in our midst, because they will walk in and say, well, that was boring. That was uneventful. That was lifeless. I guess that's who God is. I guess I'll go home. Kind of figured that's the way it was anyway. See, I'm encouraging you today in this one thing. Pray. Pray for life. Pray that Jesus Christ is made king. Maybe altogether new in your own life, that he is king in your own life again in a fresh way, and that your own family, your own household is making him king again in a fresh way, that you would bring to this church that reality when you come, that you'd bring the goods, so to speak, that we can all celebrate together and say, hey, look at him. He's king of my life. King of your life? Yep. King of yours? Yeah. Awesome. You bored? No. Brought a cow with me. Brought an oxen with me. You know, I brought some figs, you know. I brought some fig Newtons with me. You know, whatever. They just brought everything to be enjoyed. It was a celebration. It was life. It was joy. Notice at the end of that verse 40, it says, for there was joy in Israel. Why was there joy in Israel? because they had made him king. You can't have joy in Israel, in this Israel or any other. You can't have joy in your life if he's not made king daily, every day. And I'll tell you this, if you're here today and you're not saved, you don't know the Lord, you're sitting here going, man, I don't know about this stuff. I don't care about church organization or not because I'm not involved with the church. Well, here's the reality for you. You might be as organized as they come in your life, but organization in and of itself is dead. If you don't have life, if you don't have Jesus as king in your life, then there is no life. Jesus said, I am the life. He who has the Son has life. He who has not the Son has not life. You either have me or you don't. So organization or getting your life together or thinking you got everything lined out in a row the way you thought you wanted it, if you don't know this by now, you will soon enough, that having everything you thought you wanted wasn't what you wanted. As soon as you get some of that, as soon as you accomplish some of those things or get some of those things, you'll realize that wasn't what you wanted at all. How empty those things are, how quickly they fade. Oftentimes people have asked me, why is it that this church or that church or the other church, how come it just seems like there's no life? How come it's seemingly dead and why is that? Well, I don't know for sure, but I do know this. Death comes to a body, I believe, when someone quits following the Lord. Whether it's the leadership, the pastor, or the people. Someone quit exercising faith. The Lord was doing something and the people refused. It was a big change. It was a big maneuver. It was a big deal. And the people and the leadership and the pastor, oftentimes this is the case. No. No, we're not going to do that. Why? Well, it disrupts our organization. I'm going to say this. God always disrupts our organization. Look at your life before you knew the Lord. You had things all organized over here and organized over here. This is how it works. And God went, pff! Right? How's that for organization? Your life is a total disrupted heap of rubble. When he gets done, he says, this is who you are. Oh, well, I guess I need help, Lord. Yep. And every time faith is needed and needs to be exercised, it always disrupts organization. The problem with so many bodies of believers, so many churches that are seemingly dead and dried up is because someone didn't want the organization disrupted. Refused to have the organization disrupted. Doesn't fit the plan. Doesn't fit the format. For who? Who doesn't it fit, you see? Someone played it safe. Boy, is this a danger. Well, we've got this and we've got that in place and, you know, we can't be playing with fire. You know, we can't be messing around there. We can't do this. We can't do the other because we've got to play it safe. We don't want to lose what we've got. That is the first step in losing what you've got. Well, what are you saying? When the Lord says exercise faith, we're just to throw caution to the wind? Absolutely. Well, aren't we supposed to figure it out? No. Aren't we supposed to have kind of everything lined out so we know what we're doing? No. Where do you find that in the Bible? Where does God in the Bible say, hey, I need you to figure this out? He knows better than that. Doesn't he? Does God really look at you and me and say, boy, I bet if I give them enough time, they'll figure this out? No. He says, you don't need to figure it out. You're on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know this. You just need to obey it. You just need to follow me. You just need to seek me. You need to lift up my son. You need to make him king and do whatever it is I'm asking you to do. You can take that personally. We can take it into the church. But playing it safe, guys, and organizing your life in that way, it can mean that he isn't being made king. And then there will be no life in the church, you see. And it doesn't matter how organized it is. There's a lot of organization. There's a lot of organizations. And some are awesome. But the only reason they are is because Jesus Christ has been made king. And the organization is secondary to that truth. Otherwise, it's just an organization. I want us to keep this in our thinking on a perpetual basis. Because even this scattering of people in an amphitheater outdoors, you know, which seems kind of unconventional and abnormal and not really the traditional way, can become that if you don't have this fully ingrained in your thinking. All of a sudden, this could be the norm. What if all of a sudden everybody starts meeting in the amphitheaters across the country? We're organizing an amphitheater, you know. We're organizing this. And the question might be, well, why are you doing that? Well, because they're doing it. Right? How many churches are going around organizing their churches because that church is organized that way? Right? And it seems to be a big church, or it seems to be doing this or that. So, hey, let's do this. Let's incorporate that. Well, who said you were supposed to do that? Well, they're doing it. This can become the same dead structure that anything else. And don't think we're immune to that, folks. We have the same potential to become dry, boring, dead if we do not make sure Jesus is king. And we bring that reality to this place with us because it's true in our life. It's true at our homes. It's true in every aspect that we live out. And then we can bring that here and celebrate that truth with each other and honor him in that way. You with me on this? It's very important you understand that. We are not just an organization. Don't want to be. When I prayed about this ministry for a long time before I actually moved over here, and I said, Lord, I don't want just to be a statistic. I don't want to be a church that isn't totally given over to what you want to do. I have no interest in that. I don't want to be a part of that. I want you to be exalted. I want you to be the king of all of it, and then it'll be whatever you make it, and that's okay with me. And whatever that means and whatever area that takes us, then that's where we're going. Still believe that way. Let's make him king. Always. Organized to make that so. Organized for devotion. And for only that reason. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and I praise you, Father, for the working of your hand upon this ministry. We don't discount that, Lord. We know that there is so much for us to be thankful for here. But Lord, we don't want to be those that would lose the reality of why we're here. The devotion, Lord, to you, making you Jesus king of our lives and king of this church and king of this world. In every way, Lord, we want you to be honored. I pray for this church body. I pray for each one that's here. That Lord, we wouldn't sink into that, making something traditional out of this place. But Lord, leaving plenty of room for you to shake things up if you want to disrupt our organization. Our plans, Lord, need to be your plans. Our desires need to be your desires. So, Father, take this church wherever you want to go, whatever you want to do. It's all yours. We commit it to you. We love you. And we, Lord, desire for you to have your way. Be our king again. In Jesus' name, amen.